Karen Larritt says some of your closest friends will give you the greatest opportunities to show forgiveness.
Take this to the bank. Your girlfriend, your best girlfriend, will offend you at some point, but forgiveness immediately releases that person from holding against them.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, July 30th.
I know a couple of homeschooled young women who made rope in one of their classes. They took three strands of twine and interwove them to create a rope that could withstand far more pressure than any one of those strands alone. That's a great illustration of what we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, where it says, "A cord of three strands is not easily broken." Now, the biblical writer wasn't trying to make a big point about how to make rope. He was talking about the power of relationship. And we're about to hear a message from my good friend, Karen Larritt. Karen has learned about the power of relationships to strengthen us when life is threatening to unravel. She delivered this message at the very first True Woman Conference. It's a taste of what we call a breakout session, a chance for those attending a True Woman Conference to participate in a smaller session based on their particular needs and interests. Now, let's listen as Karen shows why close relationships with our sisters in Christ are so important.
I've been living in Atlanta for 30 years. So for the last 28 years, there's a group of women, there's 14 of us, and we call ourselves the Stones. And we're talking about where it says in the Old Testament that when the children of Israel were crossing the Jordan River, they would leave memory stones in the middle of the Jordan so that those that would come would know that God had met them there. And we as the Stones wanted to leave the footprints of the goodness and the faithfulness of God to our children, especially our girls. And so we would meet and love each other. We went, like I said, through potty training to some divorces, unfortunately, to some of my friends, a couple of their kids were incarcerated, to deaths of some of our children, to all kinds of things for the last 30 years it's been now. And these are the Stones. And so they were my real girlfriends. However, when I was going through my meltdown, one of the things that I just was so consumed with myself and pride that I didn't share with my girlfriends. And that was in October when I was going through my thing. In the middle of November, second weekend in November, was our retreat that we have every year. And at this retreat, we go away, leave all the kids and all the rest of that stuff, and we're sleeping two to a bed. We're really cozy together. And we really just pray together, just share how the year's been going, just touching, because we're in various churches now, and just catching up. You know how girlfriends can do it, just talking to the middle of the night till we're talking and we're crazy. And then you have Vivian and Veronica who snore, they sleep together, and the snorers don't sleep together. And we just laugh until our sides hurt, all kinds of crazy stuff. And then wake up in the morning, let somebody else cook food for us, and just have a great day. And end our retreat on Sunday visiting one of the other's church. And so I knew that that was coming in November, and there's no way that I was going to let them know that, because my pride, my fear was they would think less of me. And not only that, they would look at me and say, well, how can we trust Karen if she can't trust us with the intimate details of what she's going through? And they found out about this because I went through the retreat and didn't mention it at all. I was good at what I was doing. I just showed up and, yeah, girl, there's all kinds of stuff. And they never knew that inside I was aching. I was aching. So I realized that I really wasn't a true friend. Because good, true friends will be able to entrust good stuff to the people that have walked with you through thick and thin. And it was one-sided. And I was spanked. I was told all royally when they found out, like in January, that it had leaked out when I was on safe shores. I had walked through this thing and got my stuff together with God that I'm going to now share. And boy, were they mad at me. I thought they would have been saying, I'm glad you didn't spill all your guts, but they didn't say that. And so I really come away just realizing that friendship takes on a different meaning when you're going through the seasons of life. And I don't care where you are in the seasons of life. As a woman, we will go through various seasons of life. Each season requires another bolt of bravery and courage. So as I was coming through this season of life, and I was asking God, God, what if I had to paint a picture of friendship, what would it look like? And really it showed me by my friends, the Stones, at least three or four things that really has marked our friendship throughout the years. And also was an indictment on my failure to entrust myself to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the portrait of friendship, in my estimation, involves three different things. Commitment, communication / courage, and the last is community. And what I wanted to do is I'm going to give you some scriptures, some real easy scriptures to import in each one of these points. And what God looked at, he showed me, is that I'm just going to use something real simple by looking at all in the New Testament, all those phrases that begin or end or have a part that says one another. The one another's. Like bear one another's burdens, serve one another, love one another, all those another's. And so I'm going to give you the reference. I'm going to read it as we come to every point. By way of commitment, what am I saying? When you're making friends requires a level of commitment at various seasons of life. If you're single and you're making friends, you're looking at your singleness and what you can contribute because you may have a lot more time than if you're married with young children. So every season requires a different level of commitment. But the phrase I want to use as we're talking about commitment is it takes a lot of time to establish the relationship. Commitment means that you establish the relationship. How do you establish the relationship? Lord, I want to have this group of women, these friends. I want to make a commitment to them. I want to establish this relationship. How do I do that? There is a verse in James chapter 3, several verses in James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Let me just give you those two words that will help you as you're trying to find out who you want to be committed to as you establish the relationships as it relates to having girlfriends. Verse 13 of chapter 3 of James says, who among you is wise and understanding? Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above, this is key, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Two words that stick out in this reference when it's talking about the wisdom from above. We have to have wisdom to know who God wants us to select as our friends. We have to have spiritual discernment to know who they are. God says you have to have wisdom, which is from above, and have his discernment. That's the application of godly knowledge. And discernment is having that spiritual insight to know. Take a little time to know how to make friends. It's all about grace. So when I'm looking at commitment, there's several things that I want to, as I'm establishing a relationship with a young person or person, a lady who I want to be my friend, several things that it requires of me. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. There is the commitment of devotion. There must be a commitment that I'm willing to be devoted to this person that I believe God is calling me to establish a relationship. We're talking about long-term relationships. We're not talking about acquaintances. We're not talking about friends with a little F. We're talking about girlfriends. You understand the difference? Girlfriends. Romans 12:10. We'd be devoted to, it's going to require devotion, and that requires time. Girls, we take time. Another thing about commitment, 1 John 4:7. And John chapter 13, verse 34, these verses say, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Commitment requires love. And let me just give you a challenge. In 1 Corinthians 13, we know all that about what that love chapter is about. Take the test and put in those verses your name or your girlfriend's name and see, are you willing to do that? Is she willing to make a commitment to that? For instance, in 1 Corinthians 13, Verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind. I would say, Karen is patient, Karen is kind. Or put one of my friends to answer the question, is Vivian patient, is Vivian kind? If she meets the test, then we are candidates for a girlfriend relationship. Does that sound too hard? It requires a level of love and commitment. Third level of commitment as we establish this relationship is kindness. Ephesians 4:32 says, commitment requires, as a girlfriend, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I don't know how many times we, as the Stones, over 30 years, we have had fallen outs, coming back. Fallen outs and coming back. The reason why we could come back together, a real girlfriend, could have a fallen out, agree to disagree agreeably, but we loved each other. We had made a commitment. And I'm not saying there are some women that will come into your lives for a season. God has them there for a season. And then God brings other women into your season. But there are some long-term friends that you can pick up the phone. You haven't seen them physically for a long time. You can pick up and you can have a conversation that you talked about a year or 2 years previously. And it's like old times. That's a girlfriend. So kindness, be kind to one another, forgiving each other, having that forgiveness and reconciliation. I can forgive a couple of my girlfriends that may have, you know, come and said, Karen, you offended me, or, you know, nailed me on something that I was out of sorts about, or I just ran my mouth too much, or they thought that I was gossiping, or they caught me at something. They can come and nail me because I've given them permission as my girlfriends to nail me on that. And I can say, you know, will you forgive me? But then we need to be reconciled, because sometimes we women, we don't forget. You know, somebody says something to you and hurts your feelings. We have this little video thing in the back of our brains that we always say, you know, she hurt my feelings, so I don't know if I want her to be my friend anymore. And the only thing she was doing is speaking love. So reconciliation says, okay, Bernice, you hurt my feelings. But I know that you came to me in a spirit of love and you wanted to help me because I'm your girlfriend. And we need to work it out. Take that wall of reconciliation and two of us come together to be united. And the fourth thing of commitment as we establish the relationship, the word consider. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We need to be able to stimulate each other, not staying wallowing. What fun is it if all the Stones got together every retreat and we came out looking like old hags because we have been dredged about your problem, your fibroids, your mammogram, all this stuff, and we're crying. But can we cry together and then build each other up and help each other to really trust and believe God? That's why I want people to be able to spend some time with in my life. I want people to drag me down. But sometimes some of us have got to have courage enough to let some of these barnacles that we call our friends take them off. Some of us are dragging us down. Some of us never have anything good to say about your husband. They don't have to like your husband, but they must respect that he is your husband. And you can't allow them to keep, every time you see them, they always have something bad to say about your kids, or always have some kind of a, God showed me about how to raise your children. And talk. It wears you down. So some of us need to get some of those barnacles off of our, we've outgrown some people. So you have to have wisdom and discernment. Am I growing? Am I really stimulating my girlfriends to greater good, love, and good deeds? So that's commitment. Commitment says, I have the wisdom of God and have the spiritual insight to know who will be there at the finish line with me. You know, this Christian race is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And I don't want someone who gives up on me way back in the pack. I don't want a girlfriend that's going to be there when I may have to have that hysterectomy, or when I have a prodigal child, the only person that will listen to me and pray for me without condemning, pointing a finger at me is my girlfriend. So he needs to have that spirit commitment, and a word that I would put surrounding this whole idea of commitment, it's all about grace. It's all about grace. So the portrait of friendship involves commitment, making and being a friend. The second area of making friends, a portrait of friendship, is communication / courage. Let me deal with communication. As commitment involves establishing the relationship, communication means strengthening the relationship. And this is what I call the point where it takes a lot of energy. Because we like to talk. Sometimes we talk to our friends, but we're not talking with our friends. Or sometimes our friends are talking at us and are not helping us. Communication needs to strengthen the relationship. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Let me read those verses and see if that makes sense to you. Peter writes, "To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you will call for every purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain her," I'm going to use her, "tongue from speaking evil, and her lips from speaking guile. Let her turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace. Let her seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears," God's ears, "are attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Our communication must be seasoned with a blessing. Remember, we had said earlier that the whole idea of friendship is that we want to stimulate each other to love and good deeds. We want them to be better because they're in our presence and part of our circle of friends being with us. God says that we must be a blessing according to 1 Peter chapter 3. Psalms 34, turn to Psalms 34, verses 13 to 14. It says, "Again, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." In relationships with women, sometimes we can have an argument and it can go on forever and ever and ever, and it never becomes resolved. I have lost a lot of friends because of misunderstanding, or this gets me, when they say something about my children. I don't know what it is about mothers and their children, but when you say something about my children, it may be true, but I don't hear the truth in it. Because when you're talking about my children, you're talking about me, and I don't like you talking about me. Communication takes a lot of work. We have long memories. We remember. And then when she's talking about my children, I remember her son in the nursery. I remember her son at Vacation Bible School. And so I'm ready with my shotgun. I'm ready to blow her away. She's going to talk about my children. I could talk about her children. So we got tit for tat. So next thing we know, instead of saying anything, I just don't call her anymore. I see her in church. I just walk the other way. You ever do that? None of y'all ever do that. But we do that. We hurt each other. We hurt each other. But we must, in communication, exercise two things. Talked about this a little bit, but I want to bring it home again. In relationships, as it relates to communication, two things. We must exercise forgiveness, and forgiveness is be able to release that person when that person has offended you. Our friend, you can take this to the bank. Your girlfriend, your best girlfriend, will offend you at some point. May say something, or maybe that time in the month when you're not feeling what she has to say. She may offend you. But forgiveness immediately releases that person from holding against them. The other part of that is reconciliation. Reconciliation is that if she's a true friend, but it's a godly thing to be involved in rebuilding the relationship. Forgiveness takes me initiating, "I forgive you and accept your forgiveness," or "I ask you to forgive me," takes one person. But reconciliation takes two people that believe that God has called us together, we've made a commitment to be together as friends, and that we need to rebuild because that plexiglass keeps building up and up and up. And before you know, we don't know the reason why we haven't spoken. And unfortunately, we're talking about girlfriends. This happens in families. I have no biological sisters. I had plenty of friends that had sisters, and they would fight like cats and dogs. There are families, yeah, maybe amongst the 6,000, there may be one or two families that haven't spoken to each other in years, that biologically are related, and they haven't spoken to each other in years. That should never be. And for sure, it should never be in our relationships with one another in the body of Christ. We must, with all that's possible with us, as it says, be at peace with one another. Peace must be on my side of the street. Now, there's some people, as I said, that God brings for a season, then he just moves on. But there should never be a relationship that you don't have now that God says that that was a season and there was some sin that separated you and you haven't resolved it. Some of us need to resolve some relationships that start off great, had some kind of conflict and was never resolved. Sisters against sisters. Mothers against daughters. Friends against friends. Girlfriends can be so spiteful. My daughter Holly, when she was in undergraduate school, she called home one day and she really wanted to be a part of this sorority, and she had went to high school with these two Ashleys, and they were best friends. They were now staying in the same dorm. They were dorm mates now. And one of the girls decided that she was going to blacklist her. So Holly gets on the phone, and she has this little quiver in her voice, and she's crying. I hate girls. I hate them. I hate them. They're just so mean. Women are just so mean, Mom. And she just goes on and on. And so we had to settle that whole thing. But she was just floored by the viciousness of girls. She never had a personal experience that because she had an older sister that was older than her. And when she got to the age where they could have a little conflict, she always lost out because she was a baby sister. And then Heather went away to college. So she never had to deal with that. And so I says, Holly, you know, you just have to forgive her. And I made her just release it. And their friendship was never the same. It was never the same, even to this day. She's now in medical school, and Ashley's finishing up her PA, and I don't even know she's going to be in Holly's wedding. I had a problem with that whenever she gets married, but they're not the way they used to be. But I just say, you have to forgive. Psalm 39:1 says, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. Sometimes, you ready? Somebody saying something, and you just have to sometimes literally put your hand over your mouth and not say it. So many times with my stone friends, I was just waiting because I was so defensive about certain things, and I just was in the back, they talking to me, and in the back of my mind, I'm getting my ammunition. I'm ready to shoot that gun at them, and this scripture came to mind. Muzzle your mouth. Don't say it.
Wow, that's a scripture I know I need a lot of the time. It's just so easy for me to sin with my tongue. But Karen Laritz has been showing all of us how to control our words, an important part of fostering true community. Karen first presented that message at True Woman 08 in a breakout session. When you come to a True Woman conference, you get to hear several plenary sessions with all the women who are there, and then you can attend breakout sessions based on your specific needs and interests. Our speakers are developing those sessions right now for True Woman 12, Seeking Him Together for Spiritual Awakening. One of those workshop leaders will be my friend, Elise Fitzpatrick. She's an author and a biblical counselor, and I know she's going to be sharing some really important things with women in her breakout session. I'm so thrilled at how many women are making plans to join us for True Woman 12. In fact, there's been so much interest that we're anticipating the conference is going to sell out early. So if you've thought about coming, don't delay in making your plans to join us September 20th through 22nd in Indianapolis. Go to reviveourhearts.com to get all the details and to reserve your spot at True Woman 12.
Tomorrow, we'll hear part two from Karen Laritz, giving us a portrait of true friendship as she talks about the value of community. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.